We're continuing in John's Gospel and just looking at a few verses today. So verses 29 through 34. Speaking of John the Baptist, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him.' I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." Amen. So, I thought of the song "Feeling Good." I don't know if you know it or not, but it's Nina Simone and more recently Michael Bublé. It's about starting new and feeling good about that. I can't imagine John the Baptist not feeling really good this day. Because all he's been working for, all he's been doing, all he's been preparing for, all he's been promised really comes to fruition as he sees Jesus coming toward him. Now, I just want to give you a couple of thoughts today about that, how he speaks of Jesus, how he testifies about Jesus, and how he really encapsulates in just these few verses really the whole ministry of Jesus, as it is the capstone of John's ministry, but really shows us so much about the ministry of Jesus himself. So, first of all, I need to say when we have this marvelous biblical language here, he sees Jesus coming toward him, and as he does, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Have you ever seen anything that you've said to someone next to you, "Behold"? It's just the word is odd. I mean, I guess it's a fair translation, but I remember one time, many years ago, I was preaching an evening service in a church in Ohio, and I was addressing this particular passage. And I didn't notice that several men in the congregation had nodded off. And I did not do this because of that. I really hadn't noticed. But I said, "You know, John the Baptist, when this moment finally comes, would not say, 'Behold.' He would say, 'Look!'" And these two guys jumped. They kind of scared me because I didn't realize they were asleep, but I didn't do it just to torment them. I hadn't really been unobservant of that. But still, that's the point. John would be, I believe, screaming, "Look, that's the Lamb of God. This is the one I've been telling you about. Here he comes." It'd be a moment of tremendous, tremendous joy. And he says what he says with a whole bunch of definite articles. You say, "Okay, wait. Now that first part, that was interesting. Yeah, look, we get that. Definite articles. Now we're going to talk grammar. Yes. Yes, because the grammar is important. There's five definite articles in this statement. He says, this is the Lamb of God, the Lamb of the God. This one is the one who will take away the sin of the world." Is very specific. This is the Lamb of the God. So it's not just any lamb. It's not just any sacrifice. This is the one we've been waiting for. This is the ultimate Lamb. This is the Lamb of God. And so God said he would prepare a sacrifice, that he would send a substitute, he would do these things. He promised it in so many ways. And the ongoing sacrifices of the Old Testament were a constant testimony to that, that something better is coming. Surely people realized when they see the priest covered in blood, sacrificing yet another lamb, there's got to be something more to this. Right? This can't be it. And now John is saying, but this is it. This is the Lamb of God. This is the one God has sent. This is the one God has prepared. This is the one God has planned. And this is the one who will take away the sin of the world. The sin of the world. Now, what does that mean? Sin still seems to be in the world. Right? Maybe you've noticed. You look around and there's still sin, abundant sin. You don't need to look really hard to find sin. So sin is still there, but if he took it away, what he took away, you see, is the result of sin, the impact of sin, the guilt of sin, the consequence of sin. That's what needed to be borne away, suffered for us, taken away, and not just us, but he said the sins of the whole world. Jesus sacrificed with adequate as the Lamb of God for all sins. So he carries them away, takes them away, dies in the place of them as the ultimate sacrifice prepared and sent by God so that the guilt of sin is dealt with thoroughly, completely, and once for all. It's carried off. It's carried off of me, carried off of you, carried off of everyone who trusts in the Lord Jesus. Then John goes on to say, this is the one I told you about. This is the one who ranks above me because he came before me. But again, he's very specific. He said, this is the man who ranks before me because he is before me. I think that's just a marvelous description of the person of Christ. We often talk, I've mentioned, you know, theologically, when we think about the Lord Jesus, we look at the person of Christ and the work of Christ. And both of them are so covered in these just few verses. The person of Christ, what? That he's fully human, fully, truly human, of a human nature, and fully divine. A true, real divine nature, the eternal Son of God. Two natures in one person. That's the confessional language of the church. And I've told you, it's language that you don't want to mess with. Two natures, one person. Works very effectively. It has for hundreds of years. We don't tinker with that. It is how we understand what the scriptures are teaching us about our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is truly, truly human, truly divine, two natures united in one person. That union is called the hypostatic union, if you want to amuse your friends later. We were discussing the hypostatic union in our church. What was your church like about it? But those two natures joined together. But here John is encapsulating that in this one sentence. Because this man is the one I was telling you about. He's the one who ranks above me because he is the royal king. He is the Messiah. And so, of course, he's of greater rank than me, who he doesn't even identify himself as a prophet, though we know he was, but he says, I'm just a voice. Remember when they said, who are you? I'm a voice, just calling in the wilderness, as Isaiah said. It's a prophetic role, but the Messiah is so much higher than a prophet. He said, this is the one, he ranks above me. He said, because he came before me. Came before me. This is his younger cousin, Jesus, you know. But he says, he came before me. So he's attesting to the divinity of Christ, right? The eternal Son of God. And so you have the humanity, this man, the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ, ranks above me because he was before the deity of Christ. The eternal Son of God. So you see that all coming together in this. And John says, this is why God sent me. Right? This was my role, to prepare the way for him, to get ready for him. So John had this ministry, and here's the ultimate fulfillment of it. Now he's not done. We realize he stays on the scene for a while longer. We'll see that. But This is the moment that he's been waiting for. He said, this is what I was to do all along. This is why I came baptizing in water. Right? We talked about this last week. It was a baptism of repentance. That he was calling people to repent And as we related that to the Old Testament prophets, you see that he would sprinkle clean water on them as a sign of their moving away from their idolatry to faith in the living God. So John is preparing the way by calling them to repentance, giving them the sign of repentance, this baptism of repentance, to prepare the way for them to meet the living God, the true Messiah, the Lamb of the God. And here he is. And John gets to point them to him, to introduce them to him. And he's not done. He has one more important thing to say. Really in two parts. So one more thing, two parts. One is how John knows this, because, you know, how do you know it? Are we just supposed to believe your word? And he tells him, no. And he tells him how he knew it, and it's the Holy Spirit. And he tells him what Jesus is going to do with the Holy Spirit. And both are important. So John, I think very humbly, find this very, very humbly. He says, I didn't even recognize him, right? I'm with you guys. I didn't recognize him, but God had told me. So the one who sent me to baptize, God had told me, the one you see the Spirit descending on and remaining on, that's him. That's the one. That's the Lamb of God who will bear away the sins of the world. And I saw it. The Holy Spirit came down as a dove, landed on Jesus, and remained. I said, this is the one. This is the one I've been waiting for. This is the one I've been preparing for. This is the one I've been trying to make way for. And this is the one now you need to put your trust, your hope, invest your lives in this one. Because he's the one that will baptize with the Holy Spirit. He'll baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that stirs up no end of controversy between us and our charismatic friends and others. You know, what's that baptism of the Holy Spirit? Let me just tell you, I'm not going to tell you. At least today. But let me tell you at least an important part of what it is and why it's important in this passage. Because it's showing us that this one who has come, this one who John is introducing, is the one who can save to the uttermost, who can save us completely. He says he'll bear away the sins of the world. He'll bear away that guilt that holds us down, that guilt that ties us to the curse, that puts us under the wrath of God. We sang about what we deserve, the furious wrath of God. We deserve that. We have that coming. And Jesus bears away the guilt and therefore the penalty by taking the penalty, by sacrificing himself as the Lamb of God. He takes away that guilt. He bears that penalty in our place. But then we got nothing. We still need to be renewed. Right? Made new in Christ. It's sort of the threat of death is taken away, but then we need the reality of life poured in. And that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When Christ pours in the life of God into our souls, and we are no longer dead in our trespasses and sins, but we are alive in Christ. So John is not just saying this is him, but telling us why it's important that we know him. Because this is the Lamb of God who bears away the sins of the world, but also this is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So this is the one who will save us to the uttermost. As we put our trust, our hope fully in the Lord Jesus, so our guilt is borne away, but we're given that new life. So we can stand before God as living children of the King. I can't imagine John not being so excited saying these things. I can't convey the excitement as well as I should. I'm trying. But I think this is such deeply exciting stuff, isn't it? This is the nature of our salvation as we look at our Savior, as John introduces him here. This is what the whole rest of this book is about. If you really get this paragraph, then the rest is just going to be illustrations about this Savior and this salvation that is truly gracious and magnificent. Let's pray. Oh, Father, how we thank you for such a great salvation and such a great Savior. We thank you for this introduction to him from your prophet, John. Lord, may we feel, at least in measure, Lord, some of the excitement of actually knowing Jesus as our Savior and Lord, knowing that as the Lamb of God, he has borne away our guilt. As the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit, he has given us new life that we might live it out in your presence. Thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.